Get updated with the hottest news in insurance, finance, and the newest innovation in insurtech and fintech in these difficult times. Hear it from one of the most known and respected voices in the industry, Dr. Robin Kiera, and his guest of today.
And Robin, live from the headquarters of Digital Scouting in Hamburg, Germany, and from the headquarters of Astoria Capital, in the capital of France, the beautiful city of Paris. Today, we have Christoph, CEO of Zelro, or Saurus. He will tell us how to pronounce that in a minute. And it's important that, you know, it's not only Zelro, but Zelros, but why that is the case, he will share us in a minute. First of all, thank you very much for being here. Florian, you, before we go into the details about the 11 million you raised just a few weeks ago, we go to Florian and ask him, well, how do the numbers, the InsurTech numbers, look in Europe?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Glad to be there. And thanks again, Christoph, for being with us. I will share just a few numbers about what happened last month in the InsurTech scene. So as you can see, almost 20 million invested in the European InsurTech scene. So that's the lowest figures, I think, since we started this show together, Robin. So it seems that February was quite quiet in Europe. But anyway, Zelros did a huge deal, $11 million raised, which was from far the biggest round, six deals announced. And France, that was leading the wave. So usually we see it's either the UK, Germany, or France. So it seems to be quite regular. So let's see what will happen in March. But anyway, that's quite exciting. And we will get more info about Zelros' announcement, which again was the biggest round in February. Short disclaimer though, we have invested, or we have been investor in Zelros since inception. But anyway, that will not change the way we will
address it. Lucky you, Florian.
Yeah, we are quite happy.
Very cool, very cool. Wait a sec. Yeah, but the big question is, first of all, congratulations, raising 11 million euros in such times. I have one question to Florian. How do you interpret it? The biggest three deals, as we saw in your statistics, cover more than 50% of the deal size in general. What do you say about that? And also, Christoph, what do you say about that? But maybe Florian will first.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a quiet month. I think that a few startups raised a huge round at the end of last year, beginning of this year, and then it was a matter of just announcement. For instance, on Zelros, it was exactly the same announced in February, but it could have been done maybe earlier in the year. And the other way around, meaning that deals that were done, Clark, Lovies, LeoCare, big rounds announced in January might have been announced later on. So I would say that February is just a follow-up of January, and I expect that March will be a bit bigger or more, let's say, consistent with the figure that we are used to see in the InsurTech scene. That's the first point. The second point is that, and that's the truth, at the end of last year, there were only few companies that were able, let's say, to raise money. It's still challenging for InsurTech startup to raise money. So that might explain why we see less number of rounds. But again, big rounds happen always, and we have good insight, let's say, even with US investor investing in Europe. But many things to say about Zelos. So let's jump on that that discussion.
Yes, sure.
So, Robin, Florian, thank you very much for your invitation. And I'm very happy to be here. So, as you said, I'm one of the three co-founders and CEO of Zelros. And maybe I can start to share a bit about what we do on the story of our fundraising.
Yes.
Yeah, so first, we are a B2B player, so elaborating on the size of the rounds, of course, B2C players and B2B players, size of rounds are not the same, but as far as Zelros is concerned, and we say, yes, Zelros, Robin, to answer to your question, or Zelros, maybe in German. So yeah, we are a software vendor dedicated to insurance industry, and basically we we develop a software platform that helps insurers and insurance players to better distribute their products on services, maybe on P&C or life or health insurance. And a bit about the story of this fundraising. So it is our second fundraising. Actually, we planned to this fundraising back of beginning of 2020. We wanted to start this fundraising, and then happened the COVID, as everybody knows, a crisis. So as for all scale up and startup, it was quite a bit disturbing. But I think this episode helped us a lot to demonstrate the robustness, of our model. The fact that our solution is needed by your customer. Hopefully, all customers keep on trusting us during this period. And so it definitely helped us to convince that the initial plan of raising end of last year was still the A plan, and that what we did. Now, in terms of partners, we wanted to onboard. We had early investors mainly based in Europe, namely two French investors and one German investor. Because from the beginning, we wanted to be an international company with partners outside France. And this time, we wanted to have an Anglo-Saxon partner as well. And so that's why we focused our search in the UK and US. And at the end of the day, I had the opportunity to choose this US investor that is called BGV and based in Silicon Valley, but who knows very well Europe because it's a cross-border fund.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Maybe to come back to your European footprint. So you mentioned that you have or you had already a German fund around the table. Can you say a bit more about your again European footprint in Germany, in Italy, and obviously in France? Do you see any difference from one market to another one? Again, having a B2B focus should smoothen the thing, but anyway, happy to learn from you what you see are the difference and what you see are the point that are similar to each other from one country to another one.
Sure. So first, we choose these three markets because basically that the major markets in Europe. So strategically, we decided to focus on the largest markets. Now, the similarities we see is that we have to localize a lot, the marketing, the presence, and all the communication in each country. We have to hire German people to sell to German insurers. We have to hire Italian people to sell to Italian players, of course. So that's one of the key learning, really reproduce what we did in France locally in each country. And now maybe in terms of go-to-market, we can see a difference in Italy, where go-to-market is we understood a lot through partners, through local partners. So direct selling seems to be maybe less usual in Italy than in France or Germany. So that's why we sign a kind of exclusive partnerships with Italian partners. And that's also something we see. Exclusivity seems to be something more usual in Italy than in other countries. Here are some key learnings from our first journey outside France.
I have a question not to Christoph, but to our audience. We see you on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. Don't be shy to ask Christoph and Florian or even me questions or comment. And if you don't have any questions, put something in the comment section to show the algorithm that you love this show. So don't be shy. Yeah, I want to have as many likes, shares, and comments as I want to have viewers. And we see you too. So please do that. That would be really kind of you. Because outside of Europe, and I want to see what's the master plan behind that one. Where do you take your boldness from?
So outside Europe, if that's your question, what is your next journey, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we decided with this fundraising. You know, we are in a global business where we cannot remain in a few countries, but really think big from day one. And of course, we have in mind other continents than Europe. We hesitated between Asia and North America, and of course, we can do both at the same time. And at the end of the day. Decided to start with North America for maybe not only rational reason, but we have to start by something. And the plan is that one of my co-founder will relocate in North America, so we had the chance to have a. People here at Zelros willing to help Zelros grow outside Europe, and of course our employees and our talents are the best one to incarnate and to help Zelros go outside. So we really took this opportunity to build this project. So at first we chose the Canada and Montreal as a first landing place for different reasons. Facilities of immigration. I must say that Canada has a great welcome program for tech guys like us from Europe, and also Montreal. You know, maybe is a kind of a place to be for AI. A lot of universities and researchers come from Montreal, like Joshua Benjo, for example. So it made quite obvious that it was a good place, and from this spot we will irrigate all over North America. So with this first fundraising, we know that we won't be able to crack, of course, the full North America. So the idea is to put a first foot, maybe to win 2, 3, or 4 customers, and then be in good position for a third fundraising to have this. Element in our basket that a lot of investors, I mean, argued that for the moment we didn't have a proof of success in North America. We hope that in the 2 coming years we will have, and then be in good position to make a larger third fundraising.
And by the way, you mentioned that in Italy you were partnering with, let's say, intermediaries, consulting firms, and so on for the go-to-market. I assume that it might be helpful as well for the US market and more generally for any market in which you are, because insurance is highly, working, or insurers are highly working with consulting firms. By the way, you have one of them as an investor through a fund. How do you see it being helpful for your go-to-market in general? Italy, I think that you already answered that, but France, Germany might be helpful. Is there any rationale as well to have them on board for the US lending or North America lending? How do you see things with them?
Yeah, sure. It's even more important, for such a big market to not go by yourself, because go to market alone is for sure something that won't work. So that's why we made strategic alliances with a few selected big players of technology. And the one that we welcomed at our capital during this fundraising is Capgemini. So Capgemini is the leading tech integrator and strategy advisor all around the world, and they have of course a lot of verticals and practices on a very famous insurance practice, and so that's why we will spend a lot of time with Capgemini to co-construct a joint offer to be able to address the market faster. And we also have two other strategic alliances with Salesforce and Microsoft. So with the three of them, we will spend a lot of energy to build successful go-to-market strategies.
Okay, interesting. And Baidu?
Christophe, it's my last question. Sorry, Florian, please.
No. I was jumping on something very different because they mentioned Christophe mentioned Salesforce and yes. Microsoft are tech providers. So I just wanted to jump in on the tech side because obviously AI is both a huge technology and a buzzword. So I just wanted to highlight and ask Christophe to share a bit more about how the tech team is working. What's the split between the tech people in the team? Because I know that the ratio between tech people and salespeople is quite high. Long story short, how to strengthen the real tech background of the team, again, beyond the background of the three founders themselves. But again, I think that there is something here we need to take a stop at, because there might be a bit of buzz around the AI. Here, there is a rationale.
Yeah. To be fully honest, we talk about that with Mike Matners. We use the buzzword AI, of course, currently because it's a hot topic today. But we are not doing AI for AI. On my bet is that the word AI will disappear in the coming years. On the question will be more: what do you solve as a problem? What is the value of what we are doing? Okay, choose AI. That's great, but that's not an end by itself. But still, we believe that making us, defensible with technology, and so that's why, to answer to your question, a bit more than one third of the company, on almost half of the company is a R&D team. So we have software engineers, data scientists, machine learning engineers, and so on. And so, of course, technology is very important. And by the way, the fundraising will also help us to add functionalities on our platform. So our vision is that, winning insurers of tomorrow will be technology players, will use AI or any other technology at one point of the time. On our mission at Zelrose is to provide off the shelf, ready to use, rapidly deployable solutions, so that these carriers, incumbents, and players can save time when competing against big tech on one side and full stack neo insurers on the other side.
One question, we grilled you now a lot, I think, and I think we had a lot of hard questions for you. Let's now go for an easy question in case we have insurer watching right now. What is your ideal client and who do you love to help most here in Europe, but also in America?
Well, I think we are tech guys, but the people we want to help in organizations are business stakeholders. So head of distribution, head of marketing, those guys who don't sleep at night because they fear that they are not efficient enough, they don't offer a good enough experience to their customers, or that customer will buy insurance from competitors. So those are our buyers, and I think what we like is that this person realizes that they have so much, projects, transformations, on things to experiment. That they can do some stuff internally with their great IT data science teams and so on, but also know that partnering with tech enablers like Zelrose is also part of the answer to their problems. So that's typically the kind of people we are looking for and we like to work with.
Yeah, and by the way, you raised a strong topic and a strong discussion or a strong challenge that we see in the insurance market, being the famous make or buy decision that corporates need to address. Obviously, you are on the buy side or partner side because, as you mentioned, you are working with insurance company and you are providing tools to existing employees and existing teams. Long story short, the famous augmented insurer, that's what you are targeting. How do you see that that challenge? And by the way, is there any difference country by country towards this? Okay, I'd like to try first, obviously fail, and then go to the market to look for on-the-shelf solution? Or is there, I don't know, in Germany, Italy, or maybe the first feedback that you have from the US, you see that there is a country where insurance companies are more eager to go directly to the partnership phase without having this, okay, let's do it on our side, though we know that it doesn't work.
Well, I would say I don't see major differences among countries. And to give an example, even in France, for example, the level of maturity and cultural habits between organizations are very various. Yeah. So I think everyone is going at its rhythm and pace. We are only at the beginning, you know, of a 5, 10, 15 years journey. So everyone is going at its pace. So it's a matter of maturity. And so there is not so much difference. And about the make or buy, our philosophy is the make and buy. We are not saying that everything has to be bought or that internally nothing can be done. We are saying the transformation needs are so huge that it's even a better and more secure strategy to not put all its eggs, you know, on the same place, but to de-risk things and learn from each other, because I think we can also upskill and help this organization learn in the same way they can bring us a lot of learnings. So the make and buy to our perspective is the right strategy.
I think that speaks from the heart of practicing, of being out there in the insurance industry, not make or buy, but make and buy. My question isn't that, you know, easily said, but as a decision maker in the insurance industry, I would ask myself, well, Christoph, Florian, that's the $1 trillion question, but how do I identify what should I make? What should I buy? I don't know. Could you help the insurers and InsurTech watching right now, maybe with a few tips, how should they do it?
Yeah.
And how do you actually estimate what should they buy and what should they make?
Yeah, very good question. I think you have to understand, first thing is that Zerus will provide, you know, the same solution, the same use case, the same deployments to all insurers, meaning that we are on our use cases are something very usual, very off the shelf. So for an insurer, making something that is standard by itself, I think it doesn't worth it. Now, if you are looking for a very specific, for example, AI system on very specific type of line of business or something very early on, I don't know, IoT or maybe connected devices and so on, then maybe strategically it's better to do it by itself at first. And to come back to the make and buy and make or buy decision, buying Zerus doesn't mean being locked forever with Zerus. The data remains the data of the organizations. There is no secret thing in what we do. What we makes our different is that it's better packaged, it's up to date, and you are ensured that we'll have the latest evolution. So you don't have to fear to work with a scale up like yours. So that will be my answer to how to figure out what to buy and what to make. And by the way, something that you decide to make this year, for example, maybe next year, it will be a more easy and a better decision to buy it. So something you make at one point of time, it can be more obvious to buy it the year after. Things are changing so fast that that you have to be versatile in your decisions.
We are almost at the end of the time. We see you out there watching. We have a few questions. We saw already a few questions, also some compliments from the audience. We cannot answer every question. Florian, what is your last question for Christoph? Can we maybe pull some company secrets out of his teeth?
Yeah, good challenge. So no, I think that's one question, because we talked a lot about the target that they have in terms of market, which I think is quite obvious. We discuss a lot the use cases that you have right now, but there's always a question when it comes to B2B insurtech startup is, okay, how do you see yourself broadening your scope in terms of alongside the value chain, I would say, because again, and earlier you mentioned that your solution towards distribution works for whatever product, whether PNC, life, health, and so on. So again, question quite usual for any B2B insurtech startup: what about the value chain? Do you have any plan to expand? If not, why? There might be a bit of answer already shared through this make and buy answer. But anyway, happy to hear you about the plan for Zelleros alongside the value chain.
Yeah, sure. So there are two options of adjacent markets. So first, our initial market, I mean, is very big, and I will be happy to fulfill all this market. But let's say we have fulfilled all the market. First extension is to we believe a lot, and I think you will agree, insurance will be more and more distributed through other organizations than insurance. I will take an example: banks are currently more and more distributing insurance. And by the way, banks are, some of our customers are banks. They see Zelleros as a way to help them to distribute insurance. So quite easily, these banks, we can make evolve our product to help them to distribute their own financial services and products like payments and so on. So first part of the question would be to equip also banks and to onboard other types of non-insurance products, but financial products into our platform. And the other option, it's not exclusive options, but both can be tackled in parallel, could be to address other parts of the value chain. So once we will have done distribution, to go, for example, to claim management, for example, or risk, advanced risk scoring or pricing or fraud detection. All these areas are already very well tackled by pure players, but I mean, the market is quite large, so that could be extensions. And as we are already connected to the data, already in the organization, it could facilitate our expansion within organization towards other use cases.
You provided already a lot of information towards the audience, and we tortured you with a lot of questions about the detailed plans of Zelleros going around the world. So sorry for that one. Big question I have now for you is, again, you shared a lot of insights, and I take really away this not only make and buy, but make and buy. I think that's what I really take away from it. It's super interesting to see this from somebody who actually offers solutions in the market. And my question to you is there anything the audience and the community can do for you?
I think what could be useful, we have a very large top-down approach of selling. So we sell to central persons, but we are thinking about doing a bottom-up marketing, making our solution be used by independent agents, advisors. So if there are some very small players, or you want to take the use this technology, we are ready to offer a free trial of our solution, because we want to see if a bottom-up up from the ground type of selling instead of from centralized way of selling could help us. So please get in touch with us if you are interested to test. It will be free, and we will get your feedbacks and share it, and it will be very helpful.
And please mention that you saw, you know, Christoph on our show, because we get a huge chunk of this free model behind the scenes. Just kidding. Christoph, thank you very much for spending your time after this impressive round in February. Florian, it has been a pleasure as always. Don't worry, audience, friends and around the world, the Florian and Robin show will be back next month, and I'm pretty sure we will report some astonishing, surprising numbers. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. And thanks, Christoph, again for being with us.
Bye-bye, Florian. Bye-bye, Robin. Bye-bye.